Now, for some of us, we might have a few reasons. Some of us, we don't know what the reason is. But I can assure you, you are exactly where you need to be today. I know for many of us, it's not always easy coming to church and not always easy getting up early. I think this might have landed better in the first service, in the second service. But I know for many people sitting here, it's still early in the day. So I'm sure many of you sitting here, it's easy to get up at 4 a.m. in the morning, right? And to make yourself a nice cup of coffee, to go sit outside, maybe even watch the sun come up, read your Bible, scroll through social media, thinking on the things of life, you're relaxing, very, very optimistic of the day as you prepare for coming to church. You listen maybe to the radio on the way to church, sing along. You're hopeful, you're expectant of what God is going to do in your life and what you're going to hear today in church. I'm sure that's most of us sitting here, right? No. So for those of you that do resonate with that story, that is amazing. For those of you that do resonate with that, you obviously do not have a six-year-old and a nine-year-old living with you in the same house. And for some of us, coming to church is more like a roller coaster than that perfect little image. For some of us, even just from yesterday already or the week before, getting up to courage, building the courage up to get to church, it might be a bit of a challenge. Now, I want to encourage you before I continue that you are exactly where you need to be today. God has a plan with each and every one of you sitting in this place today. And I trust that if you come with that expectant heart today, He is going to reveal Himself to you. We've seen it happen this morning, and I'm very expectant for what God is going to do. So last week, Pastor Werner so powerfully shared on this concept of humility, and we're speaking about the mindset of Christ in church a lot these last few weeks. But Pastor Werner shared a few things on humility, and he likened humility to a plant. And he said, if humility is the plant, then identity is the soil in which this plant grows. And then he had all these amazing truths that he said last week. And there's one thing that he also said stuck with me is that that humility is knowing that we do not always know. If we seek God's hand on our shoulders, the everlasting hand, He will reveal His truth to us. You see, humility is knowing that we do not always know, but that God knows. Taking Him at His word. He has already seen the truth playing in advance in our lives. He knows what is best for us. And I'm constantly reminded, even just today again, I'm just so constantly reminded that God's sleeves are always rolled up. He's always busy. He's always working. He's always doing something. Sometimes we just experience Him in the forefront. We see Him working in the forefront, and that's where we seek Him. But I'm so reminded, even just as I'm standing here, you are all seeing me working. But God is also in the background, busy working. There are, for many of you don't know, there are probably between 10 and 20 people running around at the back of the church while we are sitting here making sure things are happening so that we can have church. And I want to honor you all for what you do. But that is what God does. He's always busy working and He's always up to something good. That's why I called my message today, Up to Something Good. Now, before I go into the scriptures, I just want to quickly just share a little personal testimony before we get really into it. And for many of you, most of you who know me will know me as the person that stands and plays guitar and sings on a Sunday as part of this worship team, which is such a privilege. But today I've traded my guitar in for the pulpit. Okay. And for those of you that knew me 12 years ago, you would have thought that sentence which I just said, you would have never believed that at all. You see, for me to stand here and to be here, or to be part of this type of ministry, God has already been doing something in my life long before I even knew. Long before I even knew Him, He was busy in my life. Now, I want to share a little personal testimony, and my mom is here, and praise God for her. Her pregnancy with me was a very complicated pregnancy. Because she herself as a child had to deal with the effects of polio. And eventually when she became pregnant with me, the doctors actually medically advised her of the risks, the life-threatening risks that this pregnancy will hold. Not only to, to me as the baby, but also to her. But she chose life. She chose God. She chose to trust Him. Here I am with my croaky voice today. I'm going to share a message with you. And I'm sure, and that glory goes to God. That glory goes to God working in us. And I'm sure many of us sitting here, we have a similar story like that. Some of us, we can't maybe think of something now. Maybe God is busy with that story right now as you are sitting here. He's always up to something good. I want us to take a look at what Scripture reveals on this, on how God works, is always working, how He's prevalent in our lives, in the forefront and in the background. You see, Jesus Himself understood this concept of how the Father is working, how God is working. And He not only understood it, that's the way He lived. That's the example that He set for us. We read in John 5, verse 16 to 17, and this is the instance just after Jesus healed the sick man at the bath of Bethesda. And this was on a Sunday, so the people were furious. The Jews came up to Him, and it starts with, "For this reason the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill Him, because He had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, 'My Father has been working until now, and I have been working.' Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill Him, because He not only broke the Sabbath, He also said that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God." You see, God has always been at work, and Jesus understood this. Jesus was busy continuing this work on earth. Even now, as we saw in this worship just before we stood up here, just how the work is even continuing through His Holy Spirit that is in this place. See, what Jesus did on that day was practically His death sentence, yet He knew the cost. He knew what the mandate was. He knew the work had to be done. It had to continue, and it had to be finished. If you look at that word, working, "My Father has been working until now, and I've been working." Now, that word "working" in the ancient Hebrew language, it actually means to be busy, to accomplish and produce something, to be engaged, toil, perform, or do business. In other words, the complete opposite of laziness, the complete opposite of complacency, the complete opposite of idleness or inactivity. See, God is always busy. He's always busy in our lives, and I've put a few points together, and the first point that I'm getting at too is where it's so evident that God is busy. We can go as far as to creation to see that God was the one that already dictated the seasons. You see, even since the beginning of creation, we could see His infinite wisdom and His meticulousness in the planning of creation. And I'm going to read Genesis 2, but to give a little context, I'm just going to add the last part of Genesis 1. And it reads, "Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." And then it goes on to say, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had done. And He rested on the seventh day and all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made." You see, God in His infinite wisdom, even in the day Himself He set aside for rest, was still putting something into place for us. Something that would bring Him the glory. It says He sanctified that day. Now that word sanctified, it actually means to causatively make and pronounce something as clean. To consecrate, to prepare and make holy. Shown to be sacred. In other words, taking something, changing it, and adding value to it, presenting it as something with more value, of higher esteem. God, even in the day that He rested, was doing this. That word sanctified is the exact same word that is used in Jeremiah 1 verse 4 to 5, where it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet of the nations.'" Not only did God know us before we were born, He set us apart for something different, for a specific task. You see, what God puts into place, stays into place and it will come to fruition in our lives. His plan not only withstands the test of time. No, God's plan transcends the very concept of time. God is the one that dictates the seasons in our lives. In Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 9, we read, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You see, we as human beings, we simply cannot fathom the extent of God's infinite wisdom, His perfect planning, His meticulousness, His preciseness in creation, and His power. The Apostle Paul actually writes about this wisdom and power in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 25, and it says, "But the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Now, what is Paul saying here? He's not saying God is foolish, or that God is weak. No, he's just simply stating it in a way, putting it into context in a way that we as humans will understand that God is, was, and will always be on a different level than us. This is so many times in a Christian life, we say, and you've all heard this saying, "Jesus, take the wheel." Sometimes we say it so lightly, especially when the heat is on, when things are going, when things are cooking. We say, "Jesus, take the wheel." Maybe it's just me, but I'm sure there are a few of us here sitting, saying, "Jesus, take the wheel." But then at the same time, we say, "Well, Jesus, I'm just going to keep my hand on the gear lever." Sometimes we say, "Jesus, take the wheel. We trust you, Lord. You take us where you want us to go. I'm just going to keep my right foot here on the brake while you take the wheel, Jesus." You see, we trust God. We think we trust Him completely. We say, "Take us where you want us to go. Take the wheel. But we will dictate the pace at which we go, Lord. Don't go too fast. Lord, you take me where you want me to go, but I am just going to pump the brakes just a little." We do things to make it more difficult for the Lord to take us where He wants us to go. So I'm reminded, as I was preparing for this message, of something that happened to me a few years back. Before I was in ministry, I was in vehicle sales. Now, praise God for vehicle sales people. You guys are amazing, despite what most people say. You guys are amazing. And that day, I remember there was a doctor that wanted to come and buy a car from me. I was working in Stellenbosch, and he was interested in the new Toyota Fortuner. Okay. And we only had an automatic Fortuner on the floor. And he said, "It's fine." And so he came, and this is a very affluent guy and a very famous guy there. And upon getting into the car, it wasn't difficult to see that this guy did not have any idea how to drive an automatic vehicle. Now, who here has an automatic vehicle? Okay, I've also got one, so it's not just older people, it's younger people as one. Okay, so when you drive an automatic vehicle, you use your right foot for the accelerator and the brake. This guy was driving it as a normal car. So his left foot was there on the brake and his right foot was there on the accelerator. And this is how we went. This is how we drove as he started that car, and we didn't get really far. And the more I humbly try to tell him, "Listen, this is not the way to drive the car. This is what you do," the more he tells me, "There's something wrong with this car. This is not the right car for me. I'm going to leave it. Step away." Needless to say, I didn't make that sale. Any case, and now I'm here in ministry. Okay, so the Lord, so many times we tell Him, "Take the wheel," but we intervene. See, God, He dictates the seasons in our lives. Not only that, He dictates us as man through the Son, Jesus Christ. We can see this example in John 5 verse 17, that first scripture, if we look back at it, it says, "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father has been working until now, and I have been working.'" You see, God revealed Himself through the Son completely. Not only that, He bestowed all authority onto Him. And the scripture reveals and encourages us that by honoring the Son, we are honoring the Father. By honoring the work of the Son, we are honoring the work of the Father. God was continuously working, and now He was continuously working through His Son, Jesus Christ. In John 4, verse 34, and this is the example where Jesus speaks to His disciples when they want to bring Him food. They think He's hungry. And then in typical Jesus fashion, He hits them with a one-liner that makes you chew and think of it. You cannot just digest it. He says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That is such a profound scripture. That one line, my food is to do the will of him who sent me, the Father, and to finish his work. So to do the work of the Father and to bring it into completion is what sustains Jesus. It's what gives him nourishment. It's what keeps him going. It's what keeps him full. It's what keeps him alive. Through the Son, God dictated his plan for us. How we can see God is working. In John 17, verse 1 to 4, Jesus prays. This is a prayer that he actually prays for himself. Just after this, he prays for his disciples and then for the believers, just before the Garden of Gethsemane. And his prayer goes something like this. It says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that you know, that know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Jesus knew the mandate was to finish the work. The work continues. Jesus was part of God's perfect plan for humanity, continuing his work and bringing it to completion here on earth. God revealed his truth through his Son, Jesus Christ, giving us clear instruction how to faithfully hold on to God's working, how to faithfully hold on to this plan, yet at the same time, in his infinite wisdom, simultaneously explaining and showing to us his love for us. And he provides us with this hope. God is always up to something good. Not only through the person and the seasons, God is also at work in our circumstances. Do you believe that today? Now, if we just quickly all, you don't have to close your eyes, but I'm just going to keep quiet for a little while, and then you just listen. Do you hear that generator? Okay. God is always busy in our circumstances. No matter what we are facing, and many of us are facing trials and tribulations and various circumstances of various kinds. But you know what? God dictates those. He is in those. Knowing that Jesus was the Son of God, he was continuing the good work and the perfect work of the Father. He not only affirms his perfect plan for us, but he provides insight for us, as I said, how to hold on to this faithfully in his working. In Matthew 6, we read, Jesus gives us a clear indication of this. And this is quite a meaty scripture. There's a lot to take out, but we're going to get through it together. It says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than the food of the body and the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day, its own trouble. This is a meaty scripture, and we've read it so many times. There's so much we can take out of it. I love the scripture so much. It's actually written right next to my office on a board, and I refer to it in most situations. It answers quite a lot. But what Jesus is trying to establish here, and I'm just going to highlight a few points, is he's not only establishing and affirming us and God's love for us and how he sees us, but he establishes God's ability and power to be the one that provides for us, to be the one that goes before us, that knows and provides our every need before we even know we need it. You see, we've been given the keys to the kingdom, and by seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, not worrying about the day of tomorrow, but faithfully living in the present, in the fullness, we can trust him in the seen, but also in the unseen. Trusting that he's always up to something good. Now, I've got this image that I put up here. It's an image of two people on a roller coaster. Ignore the third person there at the back. Now, your mind can race and you can think of many things now as we see this. There's actually a very cute video of this on YouTube. You can go look for it. It's a couple riding a roller coaster. It's just over a minute long. I was thinking maybe I should play it, but no, I think the photo is fine. But we're immediately, just looking at this picture, we have to do with two different personalities here. It's clear as day. And we liken to life. We spoke about it in the beginning of this message of a roller coaster. And life is likened to a roller coaster in so many ways. You can add your own meaning to it, but it's got ups and downs, and it's scary sometimes, it's fun, all of those things. There are a lot of things we can put to it. But just here, I just want to focus on these two people, clearly two different mindsets. Many times in life, we can look at our circumstances and we can resonate with the guy on the right-hand side, looking and focusing on everything around him that can go wrong. Anything that is out of his control. Fearing for our lives. In a sense, allowing the challenges of life, the circumstances of life, to dictate the way we think, feel, or behave. To shape us and to mold us into something that Jesus himself in Matthew 6 referred to as you of little faith. Many of us resonate with him, or many of us on the other side can resonate with the lady on the left. Now, clearly a different mindset. One that is very aware of her present circumstances, but she is very present in it, in that moment. She's optimistic, and she's got this optimistic, hopeful assurance, enjoying this ride. And that is how Jesus demonstrates how we should live our lives, is we have this hopeful assurance in him, knowing God knows our needs, and he has a plan and an outcome for us that is well worth the ride. You see, not always knowing what's going to come around the bend, but consciously choosing him in every circumstance. Not only is God in our circumstances, but very importantly, and I feel this is a word for many today, that we struggle sometimes with this one. It's easy to ponder on the first three, but sometimes we miss this one. It says God even dictates us in the, he's always dictating in the calling that he has placed upon our lives. He's at work in your purpose and your calling. You see, when Moses was with God in the burning bush, before he met with God at that bush, and even during the first part of that encounter, he could resonate more with the gentleman on the right. He even questioned his calling to God, saying, "Who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh?" And that scripture reads from Exodus 3 verse 10. It says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send you to the Pharaoh that you might bring my people to the children of Israel out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I, God? Who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" So he said, "I will certainly be with you." And I'm going to jump ahead to verse 14. And God said to Moses, and this is what God told him to say, who sent him, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am sent you." After Moses' journey Towards the end of his life, I'm sure the picture changed a bit more to the lady on the left in that roller coaster. Experiencing the ups and downs of life, but always seeing God's hand at work, always knowing God was busy in his life, always busy working, sometimes not trusting, sometimes putting his own foot on the brake or handling that clutch, sometimes making the journey a bit slower, but still trusting God, seeing his provision. You see, God tells him, I am. The great I am is with you. He says before that in that scripture, I'm the God of your fathers, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the one in control. You see, he is the one that sees your exodus. God is the one that takes you through that ocean, that takes you through that sea. God is the one that takes you through that desert. Some of us, we still feel we're in certain stages, stages is a very sensitive word these days. But some of us feel we are in that place in our lives, going through that desert, going through that sea. But you know what? He is the one that provides the provision in that desert. He is the one that gives us daily what we need. He is the one that goes in a cloud by day and a pillar of smoke by night. He is the one that guides us. He knows your calling and your purpose, and he is at work in it. Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 2 about this calling, Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 10, where he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, God does not make mistakes. God's creation, which is us sitting here, you sitting here today, we spoke about what you think your purpose is coming to church today. God does not make mistakes. You have a purpose. You have been sanctified. You have been set apart. In Christ Jesus, there is a purpose and a calling for each and every one of us. And that word workmanship, it literally means something designed and produced by an artisan. In other words, a skilled person. God was the skilled and master designer when he made you. Nothing can be more perfect than what he did, and nothing ever will be. God is at work in your calling. You are his workmanship. In Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2, we are encouraged by the writer, and Hebrews was written to a nation that was persecuted because they traded their old ways to become Christians. And at that time, it was a bit different than now, the affliction that they faced. So they constantly needed to be encouraged. They constantly needed to know, what is this calling that they are following, and why is it worth dying for? And the writer encourages us and says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run this race with endurance, that the race set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy who set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We are encouraged here. We are encouraged by the faith testimonies of not only those that went before, but that they have successfully overcome their afflictions by trusting God in every situation. And in likewise manner, we are encouraged to trust God in the same way, not to sit in this roller coaster and look at every single thing that can go wrong, but trusting him, knowing that he is in control. We are not going to let the economy or government or whatever circumstances it is that we see or face in our lives, we are not going to let that dictate our calling. We cannot. Because God is still busy and he's still working. He is alive. And what he started, he will finish in your life. The plan is set in motion. See, he's the one that dictates the seasons, his people, the circumstances, and he's the one that is in your calling. Now, I want us just all for a moment, let's close our eyes, and I'm going to ask the band to come up. For many of us, maybe something that you've heard today resonated. For many of you, you're still wondering what that might mean. God working in your life. And as we prayed beforehand, God is at work in this place. We have seen it happen in the first service. We have seen it happen last week. We have seen it since the day we were small. Even before we were born, God had a perfect plan. He was always busy. I want us, as we keep our eyes closed, just for a few moments, you can just put those points up. I'm going to read these points. We can keep our eyes closed. But just for a few moments, the seasons and the man that we are through the sun and our circumstances that we face and our calling. If any of that resonates with you today, to see how God is working in our lives, let's bring that before the Lord and trust Him to reveal us and to show us. Maybe that, my son, my daughter, I have been here all along. I have been here. You just didn't see me. You're hitting the brakes or you're trying to change the gears. I've been here all along. We sometimes just expect Him to work in the front, but He's working at the back. He's running around. We cannot fathom just the amount that He is doing in our lives. I want to read a psalm, and I want to, as I read this, I want you to read this and resonate with these words, because this is something David wrote because he understood what this means, and it's a beautiful summary of God's working in one's life when life is not perfect, because we know his life was not perfect. As we read this, I pray that God will touch our hearts and reveal himself to us. And it's not on the board. I'm going to read it for us. And it starts, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit, when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even in the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is light to you. You created my inmost beings. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Because your works are wonderful, I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in that secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." See, as we reflected in the beginning, there is a purpose for each and every one of us sitting here today. Sometimes we've allowed certain things in our life to not see that, to focus on all the wrong things, instead of being present in the moment, knowing wholeheartedly that God is busy. He is working. He's got this. He's up to something good. Now, my prayer this morning, just as we are sitting there now, my prayer this morning is that we will trust God in the season that we are, that we find ourselves. We are all in different seasons, and some very similar, but at the end of the day, God is the one that's still the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. So, Father, we pray, Lord, that you will continue to strengthen us through your Holy Spirit's continuous work in us. Father, we pray, Lord, that as we go onto this roller coaster of life, Lord, that we will not be afraid, because we know you have already gone ahead. Help us, Lord, to make peace with the fact that we do not know everything and to be okay with that. And to, in humility, know that your everlasting hand is on our shoulders. You have gone in advance. You have seen it. You have been there. Thank you for that great hope, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you will make Scripture come alive to us. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will come and bring things to our attention that we need to trust you in. You are God and we are not. You are still seated on that throne, Lord. And we trust you. Help us to trust you more, Lord. Help us to trust you more. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are in need of any prayer, we would love to pray with you. I will ask some facilitators, maybe if you can remain behind, some small group leaders. If there's anyone that needs prayer, maybe in any of these areas or any other area in your life, we'd love to pray for you. Thank you for being here today. We still have hot coffee because we have a generator. So praise God for that. Enjoy your weekend and trust in Him. Amen.